At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. To Giants fans out there, I will tell you this. I believe you've got the right coach.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I think these guys are playing their asses off for him. They're not getting the wins.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Seattle Seahawks linebacker Bobby Wagner. Coming up, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. Los Angeles Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. Plus comedian Eric Andre. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. And I'm not going to lie to you people. I always check Twitter during my commercial breaks just to see what's going on in the world. And the football story that I saw is one that I cannot unsee. And thanks to you, Chris Brockman, alerting me to the fact that Albert Breer has just retweeted somebody who is at Dolphins practice. And we'll get that video once we can turn it around, as they say, in the television business. That Ryan Fitzpatrick is out there for the Miami Dolphins. Beautiful sunny day. He has shaved his beard and is wearing short shorts that honestly would make John Stockton look like a member of the Fab Five. And
they're so short.
Yeah. And it's a choice.
It's bold.
It's bold. Bold. It's a choice. But Fitz is beardless, and
well, we don't know if it's completely gone. Looks like a trim situation.
Okay, so he's trimmed his beard. So it's he no longer looks like a cough drop brother
sticking out.
Okay, very good. Yeah.
He's not a general in the Confederate Army.
A great poll question, Chris. I need to hit with the old retweet, and we'll ask it of our next guest, who's joining me right now here from NFL Network, my compadre, whose show Good Morning Football had a huge milestone this week, not just back in studio together, but had its 1,000th show, which is pretty cool. The 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt podcast is on a post-election week mandated bye week.
Oh.
So we've got everything in the NFL and anything that we want to talk about with Kyle Brandt is always back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, brother?
Well, I thought it was just wine that I needed, Rich, this morning and last night. And then I'm running to see the picture of Ryan Fitzpatrick that you're talking about.
Yes.
And it hit the spot. I feel so much better. Those shorts are high. They're hot.
Yes.
They're real and they're spectacular.
Yes, indeed. It makes me think last night wasn't the only polling error in Miami. Yes.
Let's hope not.
I just said those words here on Peacock. Sometimes the filter doesn't catch everything, you know? Yeah, man. At least, though, you know, I'll take that as a positive sign that despite the gut punch that he received and was so honest and truthful about, that he is providing the levity that he always has. And you need that as a football team to get through a season that appears to be going up for Miami. Wouldn't you agree?
Going way up. Who was it? Wasn't it Rich Catherine? Was it Catherine Bach? Who played Daisy Duke?
Yes, sir.
That's who it was, I think. I think that was her name.
Yes.
It's a hell of a look, and a hell of a look for the Dolphins coming off a win now and 1-0 in the post-Fitz Magic era in a game in which you know, we do these things and we look at Tua and we're like, well, how do you grade Tua? Do you give him an A, a B? It's that old, I give him an I for incomplete. Ah. I used to get that in biology class.
Yes,
in college. I can't even give him a grade, an I.
They gave out I's at Princeton?
Yeah, I think you could choose. There was like this option where like two times in your 4 years there, you could get some sort of non-grade. And I cashed them in both first semester freshman year. It was some sort of flip in the cracks I found.
So you didn't, Princeton had an I in it, and you were the one who provided it. But, you know, look, I'll tell you what. I pointed out yesterday, I can't wait for this coming week, Miami versus Arizona, not just to see, obviously, Tua in his first career road start and nowhere to go but up in terms of efficiency and production. But this is going to be the first game that Kyler Murray plays in the NFL, and he'll have many more to come. But this is the first one where he's the OG. Where he's the one who's got more experience. He's the one who's been there, done that. He's the one already with the Offensive Rookie of the Year award, not trying to take on a veteran quarterback or someone more veteran than him with a plucky team. Like, this is the team that's 5-2, and he's the guy who's the OG quarterback that Tua would love to have a season like he had last year. And I'm wondering how that might actually suit him. I think he's going to enjoy that.
The elder statesman, Kyler Murray. It's going to be a fun show, too. We talked about this morning, and we were just – all these great young quarterbacks, and we've done so much Joe Burrow hype, and we're asking, you know, there's a bunch of them now who are 24 and under. And speaking of an elder statesman, Lamar Jackson, I think, is 24 right now, and then there's all these Herberts and Burrows and this great crew of quarterbacks. And we said, all right, you got to pick one right now. Who are you going with? Start your franchise. Next 10 years, this is your guy. And Burleson, next to me, virtually said, I'm going to go with Lamar. I'm going to stick with Lamar. And I said, all right, what if you made Lamar harder to hit, you strapped a bigger arm on him, and made him just as fast as he is now, and I think he'd have Kyler Murray. And that's the biggest compliment I can give Kyler Murray, is that he looks like a more talented Lamar Jackson at this point. It's wild. And I know Lamar's had a rough week, Rich, and Lamar is getting dragged, as the kids say. But I look at it more as a tool with which to prop up Kyler Murray, because he's the guy for the next 10 years I would take over any of them.
Yeah, what do you make of the Ravens' performance against the Steelers? Mm-hmm. Four Lamar turnovers. My initial first blush, and I'll give you the floor to either agree, disagree, build off, however you wish, is that it's becoming time for Lamar to win one of these games, because January has not gone his way, and I know that one of these games could also include that, you know, boat racing of New England on Sunday Night Football last year that I slept through because I was in London at the time, about 19 hours behind. But you could count that up as one. But he needs to take one of these games and not try and pick up a first down with his legs, but actually throw one in the end zone like he was attempting to win it with mere seconds to go. He's got to connect. They've got to come up with one of them. Kyle.
Yeah, and this is the time. Let's set the stage here. Let's set the stage for Lamar Jackson, the reigning NFL MVP. All right? He currently is the 19th rated passer in the NFL. Okay. His best lineman is gone for the year. His best corner is out with COVID. The energizer of the offense, the mouthpiece of the offense, Mark Ingram, also hurt. And his alleged number one wide receiver is tweeting and erasing things about, I got to get the ball. Okay, that's not cataclysmic. That's not DEFCON 1, but that's not pretty either. This is the game in which Lamar Jackson has to be like, I'm taking over. This is the, call it the Jordan, call it the Kobe. He said, give me the ball. I'm getting 40. Get out of my way. I don't need him to put up monstrous stats every single year. The season after Mahomes threw 50 touchdowns, his stats were very modest. But he went and won the Super Bowl, and he beat Lamar, and he won the big games. I don't need Lamar to set the world on fire every week to be considered a superstar, but at some point you have to say, damn it, we're winning this game. All the chips are down. Everything's against us. People are saying, I don't have one in me. We got to go on a run now. If you're the MVP, this is the time to go. Let it rip.
Yeah, I guess the high watermark would be that win over New England last year when New England was undefeated and the Ravens put it on them. And we haven't really seen anything significant like that. I mean, Kansas City's gotten them, and now
games, Rich, you know, you're right on it. I would pose this to you. This came up this morning too. hypothetical, the classic quarterback hypothetical. You are down five. You're on your own 25-yard line, minute 40, and one timeout left. If you were to start making a list of the quarterbacks you want in that situation, pick any quarterback you want, and you started saying, all right, give me Russ, give me Mahomes, give me Rodgers, give me Brady, at what point in that list do you say Lamar Jackson's name? I don't know if it's in the top 10. I don't know if it's in the top 12. Great player, great stats, great highlights, great everything. But in that situation, the go 75 yards and win the game with the game-winning touchdown pass, are we in the 15s? Because I want Matt Stafford before him. I want a healthy Dak Prescott before him. And I don't want to roll Lamar through the mud. He's great, and he's very young. But at some point, you got to creep up that list because that's a more important list than any number or any stat you could put up. The guys I want at the end of the game.
Kyle Brandt here, co-host Good Morning Football. 10 questions with Kyle Brandt podcast that's on its bye week this week. Right here on the Rich Eisen show. Did I? You obviously talked about the Bears on the show this week, correct?
We didn't. I just mumbled about it. I can't really make the words about the Bears anymore, Rich. Well, I've gotten to a point of paralysis, and I'm in a dark place, a glass case of emotion.
Yes.
Hand up. I'm just going to put the hand up right now. I panicked. So in the worst kind of panic, I Twitter panicked, and around the end of the third quarter of that Bears Saints game, and I blurted out, put Trubisky in. I can't take it anymore. Put him in. I think you got to put him in and deal with it afterwards. I folded. I broke, and then sure enough, Nick Foles started getting hot. So I'm in a bad, bad place. Can you provide any guidance or any hope at all, as one might for you as a Jets fan? Can you do that for me as a Bears enthusiast?
Are you asking me to be you? Is that what you're asking me to be?
Because
that's
better, Rick.
The Matt Nagy phrase. I don't know, man, because it's pulling teeth. It's pulling teeth playing offense, and it does seem to miss that guy who's like, screw it. Nothing's happening in front of me. I'm going to take off and pick up a first down with my legs. Mm-hmm. The RPOs that are being run can actually make somebody hesitate. Because I could actually have the ball and run with it. The problem is that if he gets so in love with it, he's not looking down the field. And either way, Allen Robinson is pissed at the world. So I don't know what the answer is right now. And if you go to Trubisky, how do you look the rest of the locker room in the face when these guys have been told over the last month, this is the guy? And Foles has rightly taken the reins as if he is the leader of the team. Do you just cut him off at the knees right in the middle of the game against the Saints and you sit Saint Nick down, the king of the comebacks down, to see what Trubisky has, and then what happens next? I just think you cannot go back to Mitch unless Nick gets hurt. That's it. I think that's about
it. You can't. And I, Rich, I'm with you, and this is a spoiler alert. Listen, I know Matt Nagy a little bit. I like to think I have a good sense of how he thinks. I'm very invested in Chicago media, the beat writers, the guys who are there every single day. They're not putting Trubisky back in. It's not happening. I don't care if they come out this game against Tennessee and Nick Foles has thrown two interceptions and they're down 12. They're not doing it. Like, he has seen everything he wants to see from Mitch Trubisky, a guy who was never his quarterback. He gave it a couple years to try to make it work, and then a couple weeks this week, and he's out. I don't think he's benching Nick Foles. The only way Trubisky gets in is if Foles gets hurt. So all these people saying put Mitch in, myself included, it ain't happening. That ain't going to be the savior. They're going to go down or go up with Nick Foles.
We've reached the Ask Kyle Brandt some poll question questions of our program. See, we have production value for you, Kyle. We don't just call you up and just throw words around. You know, we actually have production value.
All right, give it to me. Let me John King this thing at the big screen.
Yeah,
Rich.
Go to the big. Well, I'm a Kornacki guy because he reminds me of Scott Hansen.
Oh, well, then I'm count me in there too. I love Scott Hansen.
You know what I mean? Who's into it? He's into it like it's the greatest thing ever. Like Scott Hansen and his quad box need a room. And Kornacki and his big board, they kind of need a room together.
Kornacki bragged every 5 seconds that he hasn't used the restroom yet.
I have not heard that, but I'm assuming he has not peed since Florida started returning results. So ask the poll question of Kyle Brandt. You got two, right? You got a football and a pop culture.
Yeah, I haven't thrown the pop culture one yet, but we'll get to that after. The football. Kyle, as you probably know, today is the 38th birthday of Devin Hester.
Mm.
Who is most deserving of Hall of Fame enshrinement of these four? Devin Hester, Julian Edelman, Philip Rivers, Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, boy.
I love the question. This is wheelhouse, as they say. This is a belt-high fastball for, shall we say, Frank Thomas or Mark Grace for me.
Okay.
Devin Hester is my favorite all-time Chicago Bear.
Wow.
With respect to sweetness, I was a little too young to really get the sweetness factor, but I love Devin Hester, and I've been on record of this. I think that Devin Hester should be in the Hall of Fame with respect to those other guys for the simple reason of I understand the argument against it. You know, you only have so many plays on the field, and there's guys who have done this and done that. I think every argument is trumped when if you are definitely and far away the best player ever at your position, by far, there's no comparison, you're in. Now, that goes for Ray Guy. I believe that goes for Adam Vinatieri. And it damn well better go for Devin Hester. Love Marshawn, Phil, all those guys. Devin Hester, in my opinion, which I know is a polarizing one, is a Hall of Famer because no one to ever return kicks and punts is even close to him. I think he should be in Ken.
Yeah, I said before that twice I went to a game and watched the rare feat of somebody pulling off what we were expecting of him in spectacular fashion, and it was Devin Hester. Twice I saw him at the Super Bowl, where I couldn't believe the Colts actually kicked him the ball, and then he actually did what he was doing all year long. And then the other time was when he broke Deion's record in the Georgia Dome on Thursday Night Football with Deion in the building. When we were all like, can he really do it tonight? Like with Deion here and all of us here and a nationally television audience, and he did it. I mean, that was...
It's special, special. I got to be a couple times too, Rich. It was unlike anything in that era that you just couldn't even kick it anywhere near him and he would return it. I'm sure you're aware of the story with the Bears and the Colts in the Super Bowl is that for an entire two-week ramp-up, Tony Dungy was on record with the media and his players saying, we are not kicking it to Hester. We're crazy. We're nowhere. We're kicking it to Devin Hester. And the night before the game, his pride got a hold of him and said, no, we're kicking it to Hester. We're not afraid of any man. They kicked it to Hester. The rest is history.
So, you know, Chris, have we received what I'm expecting, which is the trolling tweet, what about Steve Tasker from a Bills fan?
Several Tasker tweets already.
Is it because I said that?
Tasker should be in too. Best special team player of all time.
You know, like if Devin Hester is being talked about, what about Steve Tasker? I mean, that's coming. And it's already arrived, has it?
Oh, yeah, several times. But does Tasker go in with his extra big helmet? Was it him that wore the...
No, Tasker didn't have the helmet. That was Kelso.
That was Mark Kelso.
That was a different guy in the Bills. I don't think Tasker had the extra helmet, but I do wonder did I open the Pandora's box here? The greatest long snapper of all time. Did they go in? I wish I could remember the guy's name, but the long snapper for the Lions right now has been there about 20 years, and he's a legend amongst the Lions. I feel like if we're going to say every position, the best has to go in, he has to go in too.
Doesn't every NFL season have to have a long snapper who retires after 20 years of long snapping? It just seems to me that every team usually has one of those guys. You know,
yeah.
It seems like, and how about Hecker, man? That guy is a friggin' weapon.
Oh, man, Hecker's the best.
I know. Oh, you had a poll question for...
Okay, and now we got a pop culture one. Kyle. It's Ralph Macchio's birthday today, as I'm sure you're aware. What's the best movie where the villain gets served? Karate Kid, Back to the Future, A Christmas Story, or Friday?
Oh, man, those are great choices. Man, Biff Tannen, obviously a legend. We've talked a bunch about Karate Kid because I know, Rich, you introduced it to your kids.
I did.
And that movie, it can be flipped on its head very easily, where Johnny Lawrence is actually kind of an innocent bystander who gets beat up by Mr. Miyagi. So for that reason, it's that cackling laugh of Scott Farkas in the alley and Ralphie. Scott Farkas was some sort of, and not Scott, Scott Farkas,
yes,
some sort of sociopath in a coonskin cap with braces who was just, all he wanted to do was hurt children. And there's one day when Ralphie couldn't take it anymore. He went absolutely ballistic on him. And the funniest part is when he's beating up Scott Farkas, he's just wailing away on him with hammer fists, as they would say in MMA. Ralphie's supposed to be swearing, you know, because, and his mom catches him swearing, but he can't swear because it's still sort of a family movie. So he just does what Joe Pesci does in Home Alone. He says, "What you do, pitcher, and he doesn't swear at all, but he's just working Scott Farkas, and it's unbelievably satisfying to watch. So I'm going to go with A Christmas Story, even here in November.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kyle Brandt, as always, a comprehensive, well thought out, well reasoned answer. I always appreciate your responses on this. So we'll post that too and see if people agree with him. How does that sound?
It's rock and roll.
We'll do that. I don't know if you.
It's up.
How old are your kids again, Kyle?
I have 6 and 4.
6 and 4. Okay. Yeah. Boys, girls, what do you have?
6-year-old boy and a 4-year-old daughter. I got one of each.
Okay, I told this story the other day.
What do you got?
That my daughter, 7-year-old daughter, when we were watching The Witches on Saturday night, and she got every time that she got scared of what was on the screen, she put her fingers in her ears and calmed herself down by singing the Folgers jingle. She actually did that.
The Folgers jingle about best part of waking up.
It's Folgers in your cup. Yes.
Wow, that's what she sings.
That's what I wasn't expecting it. It brought her to her safe place. She did it about 3-4 times before I realized what the hell she was doing.
So you're telling me, Rich, that I think it's Angelica Houston is ripping her face off and revealing herself as a witch.
Right.
And your daughter, whose name I remember, his middle name
Taylor.
Is Mattingly,
yes,
right?
Her middle name is Mattingly. Her first name is Taylor. This was the new version, so it's Anne Hathaway, not Angelica Houston. But it's, yes, but you're spot on here. That actually happened in my household.
Are you a Folgers household?
We are not. We are not a Folgers household.
Oh, you're a Maxwell house.
By the way, an excellent way to phrase it too. Because when you're talking about what type of coffee do you drink in the morning, it is a perfect way. Are you a household of a certain type of coffee? We are not a Folgers household. But I guess they see the commercial and have picked up the jingle, and I had no idea why she would connect it to having a nice safe moment. So, you know.
That's a great endorsement. Please, the Folgers people, reach out to Taylor Mattingly.
That's right, exactly. Thanks for the call, Kyle. Congrats, by the way, on the 1,000th show. That's probably to be pretty cool, man.
It's unbelievably cool. We had great little messages sent from coaches and players all over the league, from George Kittle to Frank Reich. It was unbelievably good. And out of the way, you know, Rich, you know about TV, the way this show was thrown together at the last second with no auditions or anything, we were lucky to make it to 10 episodes. So 1,000 is asinine, but it's incredible. It's really fun.
And your pod that's available on The Ringer and Spotify, do you have a guest for next week teed up that you want to promote, or what do you got for me?
Yeah, all right, I'll do this, and I'll bid you adieu.
Okay.
I have two in the can. I was in the tank.
Yes.
In the can. The first one is, I know a friend of yours was the great Joel McHale. Who is fantastic and talked at length about giving the White House correspondent dinner address and doing 20 minutes of material
on
everyone from Obama to Chris Christie, and had great, great political takes. And then the last one I will leave as a blind item, as I once did with Tim Robbins when I said it's the movie star of one of the greatest movies ever made. The next one, which will be out in 2 weeks, is the lead singer of a multi-platinum rock band that has toured all over the world, and we all know their songs. It is the lead singer of that band.
Wow. I mean, there's a lot of breadcrumbs there.
There's a lot.
I mean,
and he's American.
Oh, he's American.
He's an American gentleman.
Is it Dave Grohl?
It might be Dave Grohl. It might. We'll know in 2 weeks' time, but my last breadcrumb is this gentleman has a distinct and direct tie to both the NFL and Major League Baseball. It's going to bring the house down. I wish it was 2 weeks from now because we could talk about it because there's so many funny, cool things about it.
Well, the neat thing is you're on every Wednesday because you're cool enough to do it, and we love it. So thanks for the call, Kyle. We'll chat soon.
Part of waking up, Rich.
See you, buddy.
It's Kyle Brandt. All right. I was thinking of doing it all throughout last night watching Steve Kornacki, but I didn't get there.
Right.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Phone lines are lit. Your poll question's outstanding.
Let's go.
You got to read me some of the Steve Tasker stuff.
There's a lot. There's a few of them.
Have we gotten the video of Ryan Fitzpatrick back? Can we get that? Maybe get that up. Dave Roberts will be joining us in about 17 minutes here on Peacock and More. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with Large Gallery View, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Right here now, streaming on Peacock. Just like the Dan Patrick Show, born on audience, right here on Peacock. We're after him every day. Speaking of somebody from our past, Josiah Johnson. You know Joe, right?
Of course.
He tweeted out a meme of how Trump is trying to stop votes in Michigan right now. And the meme is Chris Webber trying to call timeout. Didn't like it. Didn't like it. Not cool. Very uncool. Don't need to see that.
No.
Don't want it. Can't have it. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the show. Don't want it. We're back here on our radio network, our Peacock streamers. We got Dave Roberts calling in about 14 minutes' time. Our phone lines are nice and lighting up, which we greatly appreciate. Do we have the Ryan Fitzpatrick video? And if we can cue that up, I guess, one again, I guess, is viewer discretion advised? For the radio audience, what we're about to see is Fitzpatrick in the shortest shorts that, again, like I said, speaking of the Fab Five, it makes John Stockton look like a member of the Fab Five. That's a lot of thigh.
A lot of thigh.
I mean, we will not see more thigh like that until Thanksgiving, right? On the table. Look at that. Oh, and then he's doing some of the movement to try and get the groin loosened up.
Getting loose, man.
Oh, my gosh. There is leaving nothing to the imagination. No socks either, right? He's sockless.
He looks good.
Now, those shorts, where he cut off his pants. Those... They do not make shorts that short. They just don't. They do not. They don't. And it looks like he's trimmed his beard as well. So
now, is this a statement? Is he?
I don't know.
Like rebelling a little bit,
No. It is definitely. I'm going to put these on. I feel comfortable. I like me. I don't mind who I'm letting know all about me. Putting it all out there.
He does have seven kids.
And cutting up for his teammates.
Really?
If you guys walked out with something like that here on the show, I would look at you like, if you were a Dolphin fan and over the first few weeks of the season you came dressed like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Sure.
And you came out here like that, I'd say put some pants on.
So don't wear short shorts tomorrow, is that what you're saying?
No, I mean, you could if it makes you feel confident about yourself, because I don't see it. You're sitting down the entire
time.
It's freezing. People don't know Chris wears shorts every day.
Yeah, I've been wearing shorts since we got back,
man.
And it's freezing in here every single day. It's
By the
so
way,
cold in
I walked
studio.
In here with a stuffed tiger last week, and I think I would have gotten less weird looks if I walked in with shorts.
The Walking Dead Twitter handle liked your tweet, by the way.
I
think I saw that correctly.
Yeah,
So our phone lines are lit for people who want to talk about our poll question. Christopher, why don't you remind everybody what people are calling in about before
All right, so here's what we
calls.
Threw up there. It's Devin Hester, the great Devin Hester's 38th birthday, of course, the greatest kick returner in NFL history. So got me wondering, who's the most deserving of these four guys for Hall of Fame enshrinement? Devin Hester, Julian Edelman, he's kind of a fun one right now to talk about, Philip Rivers, or Marshawn Lynch.
Okay.
Right now, Hester leads the way, 42%.
Yes.
Marshawn, 26%, 19 for Rivers, 13 for Edelman.
Mike in Tampa, Florida, we'll take your phone call here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for calling.
You know, first, I just wanted to say, just started listening to you because I've been a long-time Dan Patrick listener, and with the Peacock transition, and really enjoying the show. So thanks for all you guys do.
Thank you.
And you both have had a significant impact on my family, which is really great, both of it dealing with food as I got introduced to the Traeger, but you might have trumped him with your pizza reheating method.
Oh.
I have a two-month pregnant wife who loves pizza, and
yes,
it's really kind of helped her out a lot. So thanks a lot.
Well, I mean, I do need to, you know, go on with your point. I'll fill everyone in after we have our conversation, but go ahead.
Oh, I mean, I had to take the next step and YouTube it just to make sure I could pick up exactly how to do it, and the oregano on the bottom, you know, really kind of changes the whole deal.
It is unlike anything else. Unlike anything else. So,
and only a New Yorker would know that.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Of course I know that. So you're a transplanted New Yorker in Tampa, Florida?
No, my parents are. I've spent my entire life in Florida, but, you know, there's really only one kind of pizza to me, and now there's only one way to reheat it, you know? So
you're welcome.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome. What's on your mind?
Well, Well, I just wanted to let you know, I think there really isn't any debate with the options. I mean, Kyle Brandt kind of stole my thunder here with his points. But, I mean, ultimately, whether you want to make a debate on stats, all-time stats, championships, whatever it may be, if you impacted the game and changed it, then it's really no question. You know, I hope he eventually gets there because Devin was just so much fun to watch. As a longtime Buccaneers fan who's enjoying 2020 as much as one could during football season, you know, it was always just worth plugging in to watch a Bears game, to watch him get on the field and hope that they would kick the ball to him.
Thanks for the call, Mike. I appreciate it. Call back.
Be good, Mike.
Appreciate it. I'm glad that we were there for you and that we impacted your family. Learn this from my buddy Jerry Greenberg, the fishmonger of Santa Monica. you take a pan, mm-hmm. and by the way, to everybody out there who has been microwaving pizza to reheat it and eat it.
Don't do it.
Or just sticking it in the toaster oven and putting it on either whatever pizza function that there is there.
Yeah, don't do
it. If you have a toaster oven,
toaster
you know.
Toaster oven's not bad, though.
It's not a bad choice.
Register.
It's better than microwave.
It's not a bad choice. But you take a pan, you put oregano on the pan, you take the slice of pizza, you place it on top of the oregano, and you close the lid. And leave it there for about 60 to 90 seconds on a nice medium heat. Keep an eye on it because you don't want to burn the bottom. It can burn the bottom. But if you nail it just right, it is as if it is coming straight out of a pizza oven. It is unbelievable. Now, it does have an oregano taste. Give that to my daughter and she'll lose her mind. It doesn't. She doesn't like the oregano taste. Some people, but it is a New York pizza. Oregano goes right on a New York pizza. Yeah. It is amazing. The crispness, the cheese gets nice and gooey, and the pie is reheated to a perfect crispness. When I told you about this, you're like, okay, let me try it.
No, I'd never seen it. And we were at the New York studio, and we had some, and you did it, and it was phenomenal. Like,
yes.
the bottom crust gets nice and crispy and hard. It's amazing.
And all I say to everyone out there, as Mike from Tampa can attest, you're welcome.
And stop putting pizza in the microwave.
Daniel in Miami, let's take your phone call. What's up, Daniel?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for making it.
So this is a no-brainer for me. It's Devin Hester. And you guys talk about it a lot on your show when you're talking about people making it to the Hall of Fame. You know, can you tell a story of the NFL without mentioning Devin Hester? And you can't. He made the biggest play in the biggest game of the sport in the Super Bowl and in Miami where he played. He was part of that big comeback on Monday Night Football against the Cardinals when they made that comeback against them. And you know, as Kyle mentioned and you guys have mentioned, breaking Deion Sanders' record in Atlanta while he was there. And you know, every special teams coordinator had to tell their team to not punt to Devin Hester. Do not punt to Devin Hester. And yet they still did. And he made them pay for it. So, yeah, it's Devin Hester for me by a long shot.
All right, from Miami, you know it. Thank you for the call. You know, and another thing you could point out, too, is he was more than just the one-hit wonder, right? Because he started playing receiver. Do you remember that when the Bears are like, all right, let's try out it with receiver? Now, he won't make the Hall of Fame for that. I mean, obviously, Edelman's got him beat there.
No, yeah.
But in terms of being a special teams person, maven, game changer, he is. I just don't know. Like, if Philip retires now and you feel he is Hall of Fame worthy, and how many percent people think he is? 15% in our poll question now?
Well, compared to the other guys.
Well, just like what's he rating right now? He's still in third place right now?
Yeah,
in our
Philip Rivers, 19%.
All right, so let's say 19% of you are right and the rest of the NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame selectors agree with you. And this is Phillip's last year. Let's just say he does want to go start coaching in high school in Alabama next year, which he's already got his job lined up, as we know. I would even proffer to say he won't be a first ballot guy, but he'll get in maybe similar like Kurt, if he does get in. And Kurt's Hall of Fame resume, I think, is much better than Phillip's. My point is, though, I think Phillip would get in before Devin Hester.
Should we have put Matthew Stafford, maybe?
No, I don't think any Do you really think Matthew Stafford's a Hall of Famer?
I think he's going to retire as the all-time leading passer. So he's going to have to be based on your Frank Gore logic.
No. I think running back and quarterback are different positions.
And you feel Rivers is...
How does that... As a retort.
I don't know about that, but...
You feel Rivers is more of a lock than Hester?
I'm not saying he's more of a lock than Hester. I'm saying that it's going to take a lot for a selector to look at all of the position players that are waiting and have been waiting and say, I'll take a special teamer first.
Well, I mean, we got a punter in there, so...
No, maybe. I know that happened. But, I mean, Ray Guy had to wait till he was old and gray for that to happen.
It took a long time, yeah.
You know? Will Vinatieri be even a first ballot Hall of Famer?
He should.
He deserves to be.
Deserves to be.
In terms of that position. But again, it's just, you know, it depends how many receivers and running backs and quarterbacks and linemen and linebackers have been are waiting, you know? It really
There's
depends
still a lot
on the
of people
backlog.
Waiting right now.
I know. And they've been having Hall of Fame classes larger than ever.
Yeah.
It's just sitting down and saying, all right, it's Devin Hester's time. Someone's going to have to really pound that table for him in that regard.
Yeah. I mean, he does have, he has the 19 return touchdowns. He does have 16 receiving.
Right.
You know,
I could be dead wrong. And then these selectors are all like, oh, first chance we get, he's going in. I just don't know. As somebody who is, you know, who tilts towards special teamers, it's a rarity. It's a rarity to see that. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We've got Dave Roberts of the Los Angeles Dodgers calling. Your phone call is still at 844-204. Rich, a news update on everything going on in the sports world. And Eric Andre, funny man, hour three. Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. We've got Steve Mariucci's going to be our first guest up tomorrow.
Hey, all right.
Because, you know, Packers and Niners going off as planned, and that's something I'd like you to keep an eye on for your news update that's coming up at the top of our next hour. Who better to spin more yarns about the 49ers and Packers than Steve Mariucci?
It's Mooch's birthday today.
It is that. He is... It's his 25th annual 40th birthday.
Correct.
Right.
He can finally retire.
Good old Mooch. Good old Mooch. So, I mean, of all the stories that he can tell from Holmgren and Favre and then Young and then him and going back and forth from Green Bay and then going to San Francisco, he'll be a great first guest tomorrow. And so he's going to join us tomorrow. On the program, Dave Roberts of the Dodgers being tracked down right now, and we'll be getting him on the horn in short order. Eric Andre coming up in hour three. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, one big simulcast family once again. And Dave Roberts of the Dodgers will be chiming in a second. I want to get our friend Matt from Oklahoma shoehorned in here because I'm sure he heard me talking about Steve Tasker a little bit. What's up, Matt?
How you doing, Rich?
And what's going on?
Well, Tasker has to be on the list at least. 204 career tackles and 7 blocked punts. I mean, at least put him on the list. Don't disrespect him like that. But I have an update for you. My poser friend here that was a Cowboys Chiefs fan, I ran into him again the other day. He was in full Chiefs gear. I think his name's Frank because I hollered at him and he looked at me. But I think he said that he was taking a break, quote-unquote, from the Cowboys. So he's a total poser. Chiefs shoes, Chiefs hat, Chiefs everything. And by the way, I have a off the list for your greatest villain of all time.
Okay.
A lot of people probably hadn't heard of it, but it's an 80s classic. It's called The Last Dragon. It's Berry Gordy. Shown up. It's a remote drop, I'm telling you. Go Bills. We beat the Patriots. It was ugly. First time in 9 years in Buffalo, but I'll take it. I'm worried about Seattle, but we'll see what happens. You guys have a great day, man.
You got to thank you.
Hey,
I'm worried about Seattle for you, too.
Oh, we know about Shown Up.
I wore a Last Dragon t-shirt last week on the show.
Great movie.
I'm all down for Show Enough. Who's the master?
I haven't seen that. I can't.
Show Enough.
Yeah. Also, TJ, that's a good idea. You should just go to the Chiefs. Like, you know, you said your fandom's up for grabs next year.
No one from Chiefs Nation has contacted me yet. Okay. If they do, I'll gladly listen to what they have to say.
Why do you have to be contacted?
Because, Rich, I'm a TV personality now, so they should want me on their team. They should want me to root for them, you know. And plus, we have a greater reach here. Let me know you want me.
By the way, nobody pounds the table for this show quite like I do. I'm shameless about it.
That's true. Yes.
I'm absolutely shameless about it. On top of all of it, I respect it. Mm-hmm. But why? It's just stipulated that anybody who would be a fan of a team here, it raises the level of attention paid upon it.
True.
You don't need to be reached out to. Why won't you just go with the Chiefs? If I'm not mistaken, Lamar Hunt used to own the Dallas Texans, right? And then moved to Kansas City. It makes sense. I mean, there is connective tissue between the city and football and Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean,
there is connective tissue.
My buddy Mike Kutcher is a huge Chiefs fan, so hopefully he'll co-sign for me.
Okay.
If I decide to go that route.
All right, very good.
I'm loyal. I might just stay with Dallas. Who knows?
Okay. And, you're a Clipper fan looking for love right now.
Oh, man.
Okay, I understand.
Sports is hard.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. He is the manager of the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, kind enough to call back into this program. He is Dave Roberts. Congratulations, Skip.
Rich, my man, how are you doing?
I am doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm actually been quarantining, and I know we're going to talk about it, Justin Turner thing. So now we all got to kind of go back to our homes and quarantine until the 11th. So I'm kind of laying low, which is actually not a bad thing.
Well, it seems like every time I talk to you, there is something going on. Last time was when there was a doubleheader up in San Francisco that you were either going to do or you weren't because of what was going on with COVID-19 and all that stuff. But at least it wound up with you getting that championship. And that is where I'd like to start with you first. And what you think it means to you as the manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers to finally deliver that trophy to this franchise with all the pressures that comes with the gig?
You know what, Rich? Two words that you just mentioned that kind of resonated with me is finally and pressure. I think that, in my position, in my DNA, I don't really let that bleed into my job. Because I feel like it'll be compromised on the day to day. I'm always kind of looking out, looking forward to the next day. But after that last out was made, I think that the finality of it, the pressure that kind of seeped in ultimately kind of showed itself. And I feel a lot more relieved than I do overjoyed, which I don't know if it's a bad thing or a good thing, but I do think that the joy will kind of show yourself even more. But I guess I just didn't appreciate the pressure that I was under, that I put myself on, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. But I'm just so excited for the organization, the fans and all that, to win a championship.
Yeah. And it just, again, the amount of production that you got from so many players. I mean, it wasn't just one, two, it was pretty much your entire lineup up and down as we saw, Corey Seager being the MVP. Mookie Betts is out of his mind just in terms of his talent. So on and so forth. But that game four loss, you're called a manager for a reason. You're not a coach, you're a manager. You have to manage everything, not just pitch count, not just this, that, but humans as well. What did you do after that? What did you actually utilize in your arsenal to try and help turn the page there so successfully?
Yeah, you know what? I think for me, it was, I think it was just continuing to remain positive. And there was something I did, and it was noted, and I brought it to light, is Pedro Bice came in, gave up a homer, went back out after I told him he was done, and gave up another homer, and we ended up losing that game. But I think for me is that I wanted to kind of clear the air with him and just take ownership that it was, whether it did impact or not that second inning, just say that, take ownership and say, apologize for that publicly. And I think that resonated with our clubhouse because some people heard I said he was down and to go back out there and for their leader to say, own a mistake potentially, I think was powerful. And also just kind of, we have a lot of great people and players in the clubhouse that weren't going to be denied. Yeah, it's not easy to win a championship, and you know as well as anybody. And so to kind of the players, how we're playing. Some luck's got to be involved. And again, we just weren't going to be denied this year.
All right, so let's move to game six then. Dave Roberts, manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Mookie gave you a smile when Cash lifted Snell, huh? Did he? You guys locked on?
He did. I don't know if it was a smile or like a sigh of relief. So that's kind of what it was.
So what's your take as the opposing manager, who obviously uses analytics in making decisions, about the absolute torrent of criticism that Kevin Cash is receiving for removing Blake Snell when he did?
Yeah, you know what? I think that the thing is that I definitely feel bad for Cash. He's a heck of a manager. Players play hard for him. He understands the game, knows the game. I think in that situation, they went with something that was kind of pre-planned, that he wasn't going to see Mookie the third time. But anyone watching the game knows that, you know, Mookie wasn't seeing him well. No one was seeing him well, and the stuff didn't kind of decline as far as Snell. And so when he changed, the momentum changed, and we felt good about it. Every manager has their own decisions and things like that. But if they don't work out, certainly more criticized than if they do work out.
So then let me remove you from the position I just put you in of coming across as second-guessing a colleague. And ask you, what would you rather make a mistake on, an analytics move or a gut and feel move?
You know what? That's a great question. I think I would rather make a mistake. That's a good question. It's a hard one, Richie, because it's like there's certain players that you can go with your gut with, and there's certain analytics, and you're putting it in a broad bucket, in a wider bucket where – the data, how much data, you know, so it's a really hard one to answer, because I think that I've made mistakes going with my gut. I've made mistakes going with data. And I think the thing is that with the information, it's kind of trying to get ahead of what's going to happen, which no one knows. And I think in baseball, where when I played, let's say I was 6-for-12 off somebody, that doesn't mean the next 12 at bats I'm going to hit 500 against this player, but right, that's the mindset of the player. And so as a manager, you're trying to get and project what's going to be the next 12 at bats. So it's a really good, that's a really good debate, and I've made mistakes with both.
So then let's get to what happened with Justin Turner, and I appreciate you mentioning earlier that you knew this was coming. When did you find out that Justin Turner was COVID positive, Dave?
In the seventh inning, we were hitting, and I was on the bench, and our team president, Andrew Freeman, comes into the dugout, the back part of the dugout, and calling me down. So I was, like, befuddled, obviously, and kind of weighs me down and says, we got to get Justin out of the game right now. The commissioner wants him out. He tested positive for COVID. And so at that point in time, we're all in shock. Justin's out of the game. I've got to get Edwin Rios ready to take third base and potentially taking it back. So that's when I found out. And then I guess he goes in the training room and gets kind of quarantined. I'm doing interviews. We win it. Celebrates on the field. There's a team photo. I end up joining the photo late, sit next to Justin where he was in the photo, and kind of all heck kind of broke loose after that.
Yeah. What do you make of all the heck that you and the organization have received, Dave, about him coming out in the midst of the pandemic unmasked? And so many people were freaking out, I'll be honest, because you are a cancer survivor and you're sitting there next to him unmasked too.
No, and I really appreciate those sentiments, but I am the one who chose to sit next to him. I think for all of us, Rich, this is something new to everybody, this entire pandemic. So how to do things the right way, and now you kind of bake in emotion. We all could have done a better job, and that goes from Major League Baseball to the Dodgers to Justin to our personnel. I think we could have all done better. I think for me, I just kind of come from a place of, I just hope and pray no one contracts the virus. Justin's fine. I look at what he's done for the city, the game of baseball, and never making anything about himself. And it kind of turned to this. And some of it is his own fault. And I understand that. Not all, but some of it. And I just hope it kind of passes. And we won a championship 32 years, and finally, right? And so it's just unfortunate. This is the talk of the Dodgers 2020 championship, but I understand it. But hopefully we can kind of move forward once this kind of gets settled.
No, I know. And he's not just any Dodger either, you know, and I know who he is and what he stands for and what he means to the team and the city and what he's done to make himself who he is and what a great guy he is, and the fact that he is now somebody who is the subject of a criticism is, it's unfortunate, but it's also in some ways, to be very honest with you, warranted. I'm wondering if there's any regret in the way all this went down.
I think so. I think so. And I think that's a fair assessment. And like I said, I think we could have all handled it better. I just think sometimes in this kind of world, grace is needed at times. And I think the body of work, the character of a person, the intent. And I think should all be weighed in. And I just don't think Justin is getting the grace that he deserves. And knowing that there was mistakes on a lot of people on a lot of fronts.
Okay. And so is everybody fine? Is anybody showing symptoms?
No, we're fine. I've tested negative multiple times since that point. Same with our coaches, as I understand. So that's what I'm kind of hanging my hat on. And hopefully that kind of remains.
Okay. Who did you speak to when it was all over that you hadn't spoken to or was from your past, or you got a text from somebody, anybody, a call that you were like, that's pretty cool?
You know what? Cito Gaston. That was such a great call that I got. And I remember being in college watching the Blue Jays and win it back-to-back, and I played with Robbie Alomar and just kind of seeing him as an African-American manager who won it. And for him to kind of watch me from afar, there was a great article in the Post, and for him to reach out by voicemail, that was really, really cool. I was really grateful for that one because we have no connection, no tie outside of, you know, being black men who've managed Major League Baseball clubs that won a championship. So that was really cool.
That is pretty cool. Cito Gaston, who's a name I have not heard in quite some time. The Wamco Blue Jays. I remember that was what a hell of a team that was. And that's pretty cool that he called you.
And the other one was Sandy Koufax. So those two have helped me at the top of the list.
Now, you buried the lead, Dave. Come on, with all due respect to Cito.
No, but I will say this, though, Rich. Sandy and I are friends. So he's always there when times are tough, when times are going well. So he's as consistent as they come. So that was more not expected. I'm very grateful for our relationship. But Cito was, like, off the radar. I apologize for bearing the lead.
So, that must be so cool. Look down at your phone. It says Sandy Koufax. Okay, let me take this call. That's so cool.
Seriously, that was really, really cool. And I will say this. Sandy called me before he called Clayton. So how about that?
Ah, that's also a great humble brag, too. I like
it. There you go, future Hall of Famer Kershaw. Sandy called me first.
take that, Clayton. Hey, well, thanks for calling in, Dave. Always appreciate our chats. Congrats on the big win. And it's something that obviously is special for the city, for you. And I appreciate you also calling in, even though you probably missed it. I did have the commissioner on Monday before the final game. And I do have my fellow Boston Red Sox friend over there, Chris Brockman, here. So I tried to get the Mookie Betts trade rescinded on his behalf, but it did not happen. It wasn't successful. You understand. You're a former Red Sox. You understand why I was attempting that for Chris.
I understand why you're attempting, but I am so grateful that trade did happen. Believe me.
Well, enjoy Mookie for the next umpteen years and enjoy this championship. Thanks for the call, Dave, and I'm glad you're feeling well.
All right, Rich. Take care. Thanks, Adam.
You bet. That's Dave Roberts, L.A. Dodgers manager, championship manager. Cito Gaston. That is a name I have not heard.
I haven't heard in quite a while.
Some time.
Good one.
You remember the Wamco, right? White, Alomar, Molitor.
Oh, Wamco.
Carter, Olerud. First five in the order. The Wamco Blue Jays.
Back to back.
Cito Gaston.
Two times.
Devin White was a hell of a leadoff hitter, man.
Devon White.
Oh, Devon White. Pardon me. And then, by the way, that photograph, he said he chose to sit next to Justin Turner. There was a lot right there to unpack. So we will do that when we come back. News update, Chris Brockman, Eric Andre, and more. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Your phone call in this final hour coming up here on Peacock and SiriusXM and Mightier 1090. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.